This presentation on the resurrection by Dr. Paul Henneberry of Telus Theological Ministries is offered for the edification of all students of God's Word by spiritandtruth.org. It is our prayer that this presentation will deepen your understanding of the Bible, resulting in a closer walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's begin our time with Dr. Henneberry.
Examine here Jesus' resurrection. In the last piece, we looked at the fact that in the ancient world, the doctrine of resurrection was not accepted. Most people didn't believe in a physical afterlife in the way that the Jews did. And even the Jews believed in a general resurrection in the eschaton, at the last day. They didn't believe and didn't expect that Jesus, after he'd been put to death, would rise again, even though he predicted that he would. You see, the whole world view wasn't leading them to expect a glorified, risen Christ. But that's what they got, and that is the Christ in whom we are to believe. He is the only hope for humanity. And yet, there are, of course, many people that refuse to accept the death of Jesus for their sins and refuse to accept the fact of the resurrection. And it's not here my purpose to do a big apologetic for the resurrection. Maybe we'll do some videos that deal with that later on down the road. But I will say this before I get on to my main point here. And that is that if the God of creation exists, and I have no doubt in my mind that he does, but just for argument's sake, if we say if the God of creation, the God of the physical world exists. Now, he's not physical himself. God is a spirit, according to scriptures, and yet he created the physical world for man and woman to inhabit. Now, if he has created the physical world, then also according to scripture, he sustains it. The physical world fell and was cursed, and this is part of the gospel story. We are now in rebellion to God. Our thoughts and our deeds do not line up with God's righteous standards or his expectations. And we are, in a sense, partly responsible for the stain that is upon his creation by our lives and by our thoughts and by our deeds. If you want to look at what's wrong with the world, you don't first of all look in the newspaper, you look in the mirror. Because the things that are in our heart are the things that we see worked out in the world. And yet it is a physical world, and it's a world that goes against the original plan of God, its creator. Therefore, it is only logical to believe that God the creator will one day stop putting up with man and his depravity and his wayward ways, and will bring everything back into conformity with his glorious and righteous plan. He wants physical creation not to be red in tooth and claw, but he wants it to reflect his original intentions. He wants it to glorify himself. He wants mankind, who is made in his image, to reflect his image in body and soul. And for that to happen, he's going to have to do something to save and revive, in fact the word is resurrect, the physical environment in which we live and that he's created for us. That is the rationale for the resurrection. Now, of course, if God doesn't exist, then there's no point in talking about this stuff. And we're just going to go on, keep on doing what we're doing and messing things up, and there'll be no point to anything apart from what we persuade ourselves in our delirium. You know, what we can make of our lives, depending on, if you like, the fortune that is dealt out to us by our peculiar circumstances. If we happen to be a beggar and a cripple in India, then so much the worse for us. If we happen to be born into a wealthy family in the West, and we can have anything that we want, then, well, that's just the way that things have turned out. There's no more purpose or plan to anything but that. And yet, going back to belief in the biblical God, we see that resurrection does make sense. And I think it answers also a yearning that is within all of our hearts. Why is the world the way that it is? Why aren't things better than they are? And is there any hope for change? The biblical account says yes, but that change is not going to be brought about by the United Nations or by a bunch of people marching down the road holding hands and placards. It's going to be sorted out by God, who's the only one who can deal with it. And in fact, he has begun in a significant way to deal with it, with the resurrection of Jesus. You see, the gospel says that God the Father sent his Son, his eternal Son, into the world to become a creature, to become one of us, in order to save us. And Jesus, when he died on the cross, he died in our place. He died as a substitute, now a willing substitute. There's no mistreatment here of the Father against the Son. The Father loved us, the Son loved us, and the Son came doing the Father's will to save us. He's the only one that could. And yet there would be a pretty paltry salvation if there was nothing that happened, no sequel after that horrific death on the cross. This is where the resurrection, you see, comes in. The victorious resurrection. And so Paul can say in the end of 1 Corinthians 15, to death, death, where is your victory? Grave, where is your sting? There is no victory for death. In fact, what Paul does at the end of 1 Corinthians 15 is that he turns that on his head, and he says that the victory is ours through Jesus Christ, because he's been raised, will be raised. Now, Paul understands that he has to get this doctrine of Christ's physical resurrection across, both to Jews and to Gentiles. And he starts out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, well, in verse 12, by stating the obvious. He says that if Christ is not raised, and that's what some of these Corinthians were believing. They were Greeks, they were Hellenists, and they didn't believe, in at least the worldview of the time, that there was a physical resurrection. In fact, most Greek thought believed that the body was, if not evil, was at least significantly inferior to the spirit. And, of course, Plato's teaching was that the body was the prison house of the soul. The soul had to escape from the body in order to be free. But and that belief, by the way, was widespread in the ancient world. So they had no time, they had no place for a physical resurrection. They believed in a spiritual reviving, as it were. And this is what we find came into the beliefs of the Corinthian church. Not surprisingly, they'd started out believing in the resurrection, but then the beliefs of the culture around them started to infiltrate into the church again, and people were doubting that Jesus had actually risen from the dead. And so Paul writes to them, and he says this: Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? That's in line with Greek thought. And he continues, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Well, that follows. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Well, Paul's been preaching the resurrection, a physical resurrection, and he's been preaching it because he wants people to believe it. And there's no point in believing something that didn't happen. Christianity is certainly not about blind faith. It's not about believing something that didn't really happen. It's a historical faith. And by the way, I might as well insert here that you can believe in Buddhism without believing in Buddha. You can believe in a lot of the Hindu teachings without believing in the literal gods or the literalness of the gods there. You can believe in many of these things. You can even believe in Islam without believing in Muhammad. But you can't believe in Christianity if you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, because it's central to the Christian faith and it's central to the Christian outlook on life and their interpretation of life and hope. And so that's what Paul's saying here. And he continues here, we are found, that is the preachers, Paul and those that are preaching this gospel, we are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we've testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. So Paul is saying, look, I understand very well here that if you're right and there's no physical resurrection, then obviously what we're preaching about the physical resurrection of Jesus is a load of hooey. And we're false witnesses of God, and you shouldn't be believing us. And we'd say the same thing today. Christians believe in the physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's no such thing as resurrection, then that's a bunch of baloney, and you shouldn't believe it. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, then you ought to believe it. And so the apostle continues here, and after making a remark about if Christ hasn't been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins, because there's no declaration of the acceptance, you see, of Christ's sacrifice for our sins if he's not been raised from the dead. He says this in verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Earlier, he had said that Christ had been seen by Cephas, that is Peter, then of the 12, then of 500 brothers at one time, most of whom were still alive, although he says some have fallen asleep, some have passed away. 1 Corinthians is written about AD 52, something around there, 53. So Jesus would have risen from the dead, most people say AD 30, which I think is right. So there's 22 years or so between Paul's account here and the resurrection of Jesus, and many people were still alive, just as many people were still alive, are alive now, that were alive to see many things that happened in the 70s and 80s. Long time ago for some of you, but not for some of us. And so this is certainly within living memory. And Paul, who had seen the risen Christ, says, look, this is something that we're passing on to you, not because we've heard this fable that we are suckers to believe. No, we're passing it on to you because we've actually seen the risen Jesus. And we're testifying to you about this. You ought to believe it because Jesus indeed did rise from the dead.